Good morning again. It is 10:52. We have just restarted the recording. We'll do a roll call to ensure board member and staff are present. Dr. King?
Yes, here present.
Dr. Basile?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Mr. Leone? Mr. Leone is still absent. Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Sinish?
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepius. Dr. King, the meeting's yours.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the board. So we are on agenda item number 9D, case number 2351, Lucy Yu, physical therapist. Ms. Yu, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Ms. Yu. And then I think you're represented by Sarah Stark, is that correct?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Ms. Stark. All right, so first we will have Mindy give us a summary of the investigative report, and then you'll have an opportunity to make a statement, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, this is case 2351, Lucy Yu, PT. The complaint was filed by the son of patient JP. The son alleged that Ms. Yu engaged in an inappropriate relationship with his father, who was a patient with Ms. Yu's at the time. Please note that Ms. Yu and her attorney were provided a copy of the investigative report. They responded with a supplemental response, and that was included in your review documents as Exhibit A. The complainant informed us yesterday that he could not attend today's meeting, and he provided a written statement late yesterday, which was added to your file late in the day, and that's intended to be in lieu of his presence in person today. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession as it relates to Principle 2, a physical therapist shall act in a trustworthy manner for patients and clients and in all other aspects of physical therapy. And Principle 4, a physical therapist shall exercise sound professional judgment. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Yu, would you or Ms. Stark like to make a statement?
Dr. King, I will make a brief statement and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Yu for some additional comments, if that's okay.
Fine.
Okay. So Dr. King, members of the board, there are a lot of very serious allegations here raised by complainant. And obviously, if these allegations were true, there would be significant violations of the board's statutes, rules, and ethical principles. However, as the investigation has shown, these allegations are false or have been misinterpreted and or misrepresented by complainant. Most importantly, Dr. Yu has never had an intimate or romantic relationship with this patient, nor did she ever try to. Dr. Yu expressed interest in a unique hobby that the patient was involved with called round dancing, and the two spent time together socially after the patient's treatment had concluded, which centered around Dr. Yu's desire to become involved with this activity. Dr. Yu never bought the patient gifts or received gifts or money from the patient. There were a few occasions where Dr. Yu did order some therapy-related items on Amazon and bought him some therapy-related pants at Walmart, but he always knew that she was ordering these items and reimbursed her. These were not gifts and were directly related to the patient's treatment. At the time, the patient was of sound mind and physically independent. I only say was just because we have no independent knowledge right now of his state, but at the time that he was a patient of Dr. Yu's, he was of sound mind and physically independent. After learning that his son filed this complaint, he wrote a letter to the board which corroborates Dr. Yu's version of events. It should also be noted here that complainant only filed a complaint with this board. He never once filed a complaint with Dr. Yu's agency or requested that his father be assigned to a different therapist. In addition, he did not communicate any of his concerns to Dr. Yu other than to tell her that he did not appreciate her meddling in his and his father's affairs when she asked for a key to the fitness center. Even though Dr. Yu denies the egregious allegations made here, this entire situation has caused her to reassess her practice and ensure that appropriate boundaries are being maintained. She has taken continuing education, which has been submitted to the board, and she has implemented changes to her practice. While she always thought that visiting patients in rehab was going above and beyond for the patient, she now sees it from a different perspective and wants to ensure that no patient or their family gets the wrong idea. She was always praised by her employer for taking this extra step to visit her patients, and she even received an award for clinical excellence from her employer. But has realized that the risk in doing so after this complaint was filed is not worth the possible benefits. She also no longer purchases therapy items for patients and seeks reimbursement. Instead, she sends the patient or a family member a link to the suggested product, and they can purchase it for themselves if they choose to do so. Again, as previously stated, if all of these allegations were true, there would be clear-cut statutory and rule violations, no question. If the board members had concerns about the social interactions after treatment, I don't know that there is a clear violation here, so perhaps an advisory letter or non-disciplinary CE order would be appropriate if the board members are not comfortable with a full dismissal. But again, it is our position that there are no clear rule violations here, so disciplinary action would not be warranted in this case. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Dr. Yu to also make a few brief comments about the situation, and then we'll be available for questions as well. Thank you. Dr. Yu.
Thank you, Sarah. Yes, I just wanted to clarify a few points in anticipation of questions the board might have for me about specific situations. I did not give the patient any gifts, and he did not give me any gifts. The cost of therapy-related accessories I purchased for him to improve his safety and functional mobility, including walker accessories, were reimbursed by him, and he reciprocated my purchase of tickets to two events by buying meals on those days. Text messages show that the complainant knew when the therapy accessories had been delivered by Amazon, and he knew the content of those packages. On another point, the complainant accused me of being overly concerned about his father. Most of the time, family members appreciate my attention to detail and thoroughness in caring for their loved ones. The complainant, excuse me, did not attend any therapy sessions. And since he was not available, I did take it upon myself to purchase a couple of items to help ensure a successful rehab outcome. Including shorts with an elastic waistband that would be easy to don and doff and not restrict movement, and more supportive shoes with calcaneal support, the cost of which was reimbursed by the patient in both instances. I also saw the complainant was concerned that I had suggested to the patient, JP, that he could request an extension of therapy from his doctor. This is common practice in home health care, especially if there is a delay in obtaining orders to continue therapy. Our supervisors actually encourage us to involve patients in contacting the doctor if we're having difficulty getting a timely response. I am salaried, so my income does not increase if additional PT visits are ordered for a patient. As Sarah mentioned, at the end of 2022, I was presented with the Clinical Excellence Award by my home health agency. Prior to receiving the award, I was praised by the sales liaison manager for taking the time to visit the patient while he was in rehab to help ensure a positive outcome after returning home and continuity of care with home health services. Sarah also mentioned that I took a few continuing education courses. I'll go ahead and list the titles. One of them was Ethics in Action, a Legal and Therapy Perspective course. Another was Corporate Compliance and Ethics. And another was Maintaining Professional Boundaries. These courses just happened to come about at this time as part of an annual human resources requirement to continue employment. So we are required to complete modules on various topics. So in the one course entitled Ethics in Action, a Legal and Therapy Perspective course, a comment that struck me was, again, you see this in the elderly a lot, where someone will start to influence them or intimidate them to do things that they typically would not do. A lot of times, whoever's taking advantage of them will isolate them. They'll cut off outside communication so that they can't speak to anyone else. They won't let friends come over to see them. So I understand from this course that as a healthcare professional, I have a duty to report if I myself witness something that is like exploitation. I just also wanted to point out that in another course called Maintaining Professional Boundaries, it was emphasized that professional boundaries are meant to protect myself as well as the people I provide care to, and that it's important to consider both well-being and intention to guide every professional interaction to prevent boundary crossing or boundary violations. With respect to well-being, quote, every action you take should maintain the other person's well-being. Your actions should help them to be their best and cause no harm, unquote. With respect to intention, quote, only perform actions that are meant to do something good for the other person and helps to meet their needs, not your needs, unquote. I just want to let the board know that I sincerely believe I followed these principles when patient JP was under my care, and I respectfully request that the board take that into consideration. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for or Ms. Hugh?
Ms. Hugh, I only have one kind of line of questions. Did you ever talk with JR about his will or his estate before this became an issue?
Are you speaking of patient JP?
I'm sorry, JP, yes.
At the beginning of every, I shouldn't say every episode of care, but at the start of care in home health, we are required to ask for power of attorney paperwork and advance directives. If the patient has those, we're required to attempt to obtain copies for the medical record. So I did ask at that time, and for those specific items, JP said he has not designated a power of attorney, and he does not have advanced directives. But he was wondering if some paperwork he does have was related or was in any way anything that I needed. And it did have to do with, I'm not sure if it's exactly a will or regarding his estate, but I said, no, that's not anything that I need if it's not specifically related to a medical power of attorney or advanced directives for healthcare. But he mentioned it, and that's the, I think he did mention that he has three boys and they'll be inheriting, you know, whatever assets he has. But that's about it. That was the extent of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Yu, it's Kelly King. How did patient JP know there had been a complaint filed?
His son told him. His son, I don't know how the conversation came about, but he found out from his son.
His son's denying that he told him, and you're denying that he told him. I'm wondering how he could have known there was a complaint on the, potentially on the day that you actually received the complaint.
I don't know the timing of that, and I don't know what the son has told him, but...
Did you call him after you received the complaint?
The patient actually called me.
Okay.
And told me his son told him. He was pretty furious.
So based on a couple of the things that you read, the quotes, you talked about the well-being around boundaries and that whatever you do is in the well-being of the patient, not you. I'm a little bit confused about that, though, because it seems like you were really wanting to learn this round dancing and that was really what this was all about, was trying to help you learn it versus what was best for the patient. Can you just help me understand that?
Okay, yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that. I can see your perspective that there's a benefit for me in learning about round dancing. From the patient's perspective, he and his wife were quite involved in the round dance community for, I think he said, 25 years. And what he saw is that very few younger people are getting involved. The people who are experienced in round dancing are getting older, passing away. There are fewer and fewer instructors and fewer cueers. These are the people who call out the dance moves during the round dance. So his interest is in continuing the traditions, I guess. And I think what he saw in me with my physical therapy background and the way I explain exercises, I think he saw that I would probably be a good person who might be interested in this, not only just learning it, but I think he hopes that eventually I might be able to teach it and maybe even become a cueer and get, you know, the next generation involved in round dancing so that this tradition, this art does not totally die off. So that was his interest. Yes, that's personal and it's beyond the plan of care. I think that's, you know, that was kind of his perspective.
And the reason I'm asking is because I watched your interview and you repeated several times that you were interested in learning round dancing, not that he was interested in, right, promoting it, but that you, it was your hope to teach it and to learn it more in depth. So
it was, and I was giving my perspective. I'm sure the patient is happy to give his perspective, but I sincerely believe that the patient is interested in getting more people involved and possibly through me, you know, to become interested and to learn. But yes, I am very interested, and it's already been helpful for me to have some creativity in my sessions with other patients to show them some different ways to move to challenge their balance.
Let's talk for a second about the CEUs you took. So you stated that the CEUs around boundaries and ethics just happened to come about as a requirement of your employer to take these modules. So you didn't seek continuing education to help you understand better
It was both. So one of the courses was one I sought out after my attorney recommended it, but it also just so happened that our annual HR requirements had come up. And I, you know, definitely noticed the courses in boundaries and ethics. So I paid extra attention and thought, well, what can I learn, you know, from these additional courses? I can't remember which one was the one that I sought out and, you know, I basically paid for the CEUs. It might have been, I'm not sure, but there were three courses and two of them were part of the HR requirements.
And the boundaries was just 0.5 CEUs, is that correct?
There were three courses and I don't remember the number of hours. I'd have to look
that. Dr. King, I think there's 0.5. I think those were the Relias ones, and I assume those are the ones that were associated with the employer. And
then yes, Relias.
The independent employee was 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
Yeah.
So boundaries so, was just 0.5, and it was part of her employment requirement. Okay. Thank you. Ms. Hugh, just curious, over the 8 months of treating this patient or him being under your care on and off again, did you do anything outside of a scheduled appointment with him?
I visited him in rehab and in the hospital after his femur ORIF failed.
Is that something you do with all your patients?
Not all, but yes, I do that sometimes. Well, I should say, ever since I received the board complaint, as Sarah mentioned, I've rethought the wisdom of doing that. So I no longer do that, but, yes, on occasion I would visit patients in rehab or the hospital.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Ms.
Yu? Ms. Yu, after reviewing the continuing education, and in hindsight, do you see any issues with your interactions with the patient following the discharge from care?
After reviewing the courses in particular did not indicate to me that there was any problem with my interactions with the patient after his care. However, this whole experience, has helped me to be more cautious and to communicate more with caregivers and relatives. As you know, I'm in the home health setting, so I often interact with caregivers and relatives, power of attorney members. So I think I communicate more as far as making sure that everybody understands and agrees with what I'm doing. I make a bigger effort to ask caregivers and family members if they would like to observe or participate in any sessions. A big part of home care is caregiver education. So I really reach out and encourage anybody who interacts regularly with the patient to be involved. Perhaps I didn't do that well enough with patient JP, as I noted, I think probably in my interview. His son did not observe any sessions. Maybe he didn't know that he could, you know, so, but I also didn't, I wasn't aware of any concerns that that son had. The patient's another son who lives outside the country, was present and available. He came to visit for a month after the initial surgery, so he stayed with the patient and he observed the sessions. But then he left for his home in another country after a month. So that's when I reached out to the other son, the complainant, and just sent him a text message to let him know who I was and that I was assigned to continue care with his father. But maybe I should have made that extra effort to say, if you would like to participate or observe any sessions, let me know. I can work around your schedule. I tried to pay close attention to the courses that I took, and I really couldn't find anything at this point, I would say, that might be relevant to this situation in particular. You know, there were some general concepts, as I mentioned before. I did take some notes. For instance, you can use ethics to help you to decide how you should act in relationships and toward other people. When you act with honesty, integrity, and compassion, the people around you will trust you and your decision-making capabilities or abilities. You know, so I don't know at what point trust broke down between me and the complainant. But I've thought long and hard about the situation. And like I said, I'm trying to be more careful. And, you know, maybe with some additional thought and as I encounter different situations, I can take a step back and think, okay, if this were an outsider, how would it look? You know, maybe I need to be more careful. Maybe I need to communicate more, like I said, with family members, or reach out and say, please let me know if you have any concerns or questions. I'm more than happy to address those.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thanks. Ms. Yu, I do have a couple more questions just around the timing of this, right? So you discharged the patient, and then just a few days later, either you're purchasing tickets to take him someplace not involving dancing, or he's purchasing tickets to go someplace with you. You're driving with him in your car. Help me understand that the development of this relationship, because it just timing-wise seems very questionable that just after you discharge him, now you're doing social things with him. And you said in your interview it was because of a budding or a building friendship or a growing friendship. So just help me understand when the timing of all of these things.
Yeah, I remember being asked this during the interview, and the patient was discharged just before Memorial Day. I had not taken a day off in quite a long time, and the patient was feeling, he said he was feeling cooped up because, you know, through all of his surgery and recovery and rehab, he really hadn't been out much. He was also not really new to the area, but because he had to take care of his wife for quite a while after they moved to the area, he hadn't really explored the area. So it really was just a friendship. Hey, I have a day off. He feels cooped up. I said, you know, a place that I like to take people when they come to visit, whether it's friends or family who haven't seen this area, I like to take them out on the Dolly Steamboat. I asked him if he'd ever done that. He hadn't. You know, like I said, it was Memorial Day weekend. We were chatting about a new round dance group that was starting in the summer, which was unusual. I didn't think that that the round dance groups might be very active in the summer. I guess the other thing, too, from a therapy standpoint, and those of you who are therapists will understand this, so being on a boat requires some good balance as you're on the boat with on the water. I also knew that usually what they have is a long ramp going up to the boat. So, you know, just some things to challenge him mobility wise now that he was feeling better, doing great, had met all his PT goals. And the aquarium was also a chance for him to basically stand on his feet for a couple hours, you know, and challenge his endurance that way. So I guess I was excited for him that he was free. He was discharged. We were kind of celebrating, yay, finally, after all this, after all these setbacks, and he did have a few, that he was finally done. He was finally feeling good, feeling like he could really do whatever he wanted to in the community, other than play ping pong, because that's what took him down many months earlier. So it just happened, like I said, that I had the time. And so did he. So yeah, it was just part of the friendship.
Did it occur to you to suggest those things to, for him to go with other friends or his family as opposed to you?
The family he has in town is the complainant. He does have friends. He has round dance friends that, you know, that he'll have lunch with. But, no, it didn't occur to me to suggest that he go with somebody else.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Yu? Okay, do you have a final statement you'd like to make, either Ms. Stark or Ms. Yu?
Nothing further from us at this time. Thank you, Dr. King.
You're welcome. Okay, so the board will go into deliberations.
So I guess I'll start us. Sorry, I'm trying to move because I've got sun in my eye. But I'm not sure there's any there. I think, you know, maybe there may be a chance of appearance of impropriety, but I'm not overly concerned about the relationship. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of imbalance. It appears to me from the conversation that most of it happened after the professional relationship. It doesn't appear to me to be problematic. To the extent that, JP is concerned about some kind of elder abuse issue or will issue, it doesn't seem like that happened during treatment. And to the extent there is a concern, there's another agency that deals with that, the Adult Protective Services Act, or the DHS. And so, you know, at least from what I'm hearing and seeing today, I'm struggling to find a nexus with the provision of physical therapy care that would make me think there's any kind of untoward action going on. And to be honest, I'm a little concerned just from what I hear from the respondent that, you know, as a result of this, this complaint, she's going to stop doing the above and beyond things that she did that frankly sound like they were great care. And so that's kind of my layperson perspective. You know, I would be interested to hear from the other board members what their perspective is, but that's kind of where I am right now.
We see eye to eye on a lot of things, Mr. Barton, but I disagree 100% on this one. This is probably not the most egregious boundary violation that there could possibly be, but I am very, very concerned with the blurring of the lines between a friend and a treatment provider. And I'm very, very uncomfortable, and I'm very disappointed in the time. And what's more disappointing is I don't think the licensee learned anything from this continuing education she took. And I imagine that she doesn't really have any regrets, and she's focusing I think solely on the alleged, you know, and I agree there's probably nothing, you know, sexual about the relationship, but you can cross boundaries in lots of ways that I think all of these boundaries are were crossed. The timing is incredibly suspect to me. You know, I can go on and on. I think this needs to move to an informal hearing because I see this as a disciplinary case. But now you've heard two different viewpoints, Dr. King, Dr. Bastillo. I'm really excited to hear what you guys are going to say. Dr. Bastillo, you're muted.
Yep. Sorry. I feel like the physical therapy care probably was given and was very timely and was good. I was feeling a little bit like Mr. Barton for a bit there when she was talking early on, but at the end of the conversation, talking about the timing of the personal visits and then the outings, I just the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I feel like this is the violation that that we really do need to look at. The timing is just suspect, and I do agree with you, Mr. Greer, that I don't feel like the coursework that she took really did help her understand what some of the professional boundaries might be. So I would be in favor of moving to an informal hearing.
I have a lot of concerns about the professional judgment of Ms. Yu on this. Timing is incredibly suspect. Her passivity about the CEUs, they just happened to happen, and the outings just happened to happen, not understanding the power imbalance, which is always present between a PT and a patient. There's always a power imbalance there because there's influence visiting patients. And I recognize that sometimes that feels like above and beyond, but I can't imagine any of our public members visiting one of their clients at the park or going to a restaurant with them. We're just going by and seeing them, stopping by and just saying hi out of the context of a therapeutic relationship. So exchanging money, even though it's just reimbursement, there's just all kinds of things here. Unfortunately, our statutes don't define when a person is no longer a patient. So I've looked and looked and looked and tried to find that. I think the only thing we have that we could potentially look at is an ethical violation, which is significant. But, you know, I also have concerns, and I walked through the patient's documentation, but I can tell you that in my professional work with home health, 8 months of home health for orthopedic recovery is significantly longer than usual, depending on the payer, of course, but that's a lot. It's a lot of time for home health. So I have lots and lots of concerns about this one. So I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to an informal hearing. I would just want to make sure that we know exactly what we're looking at, and direct Mindy if we need any other additional investigative material, what that needs to be.
And if no additional investigation or additional information is needed under oath, then perhaps you might consider consent agreement as you have in the past.
So I guess to the other board members, I admit that I'm, you know, more of a social butterfly than most, so maybe I should be I guess I'm trying to understand. So we've got two principles that are at issue here, right? So we've got the physical therapist should act in a trustworthy manner toward patient clients, and then a physical therapist should exercise sound professional judgment. And it looks like to the members of the board, the concern is really principle four, the sound professional judgment as it relates to starting a personal relationship within a couple of days of ending a therapeutic relationship. Is that really the concern that I'm hearing?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I will tell you, we are growing agreeing with you because you have a halo shining on your face.
I'm really trying to avoid that, but it is really distracting. I guess what I'm curious about from the board's perspective is, do the other members of the board have a perspective on what the line is? I mean, is it the board's perspective that, like, you can't have a personal relationship ever after you have a professional relationship with these people, or that you need to wait a month, a year? I guess that's what I'm kind of struggling to understand.
And I thought about that too. In this case, it doesn't matter because it was nearly immediate. Yeah, I think it's the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we draw the line may matter in another case. You know, if the relationship was started a year later, you know, they meet at a round dancing thing a year after they's discharged, and sure, the therapist-patient relationship is why they got together. Hey, we may have to decide that case some future day. Here, it's the very next day.
Yeah.
And so... You know, I don't think we need to answer your question there. I don't really know what the answer is. I know in other professions they do say, you know, they do set some guidelines, but I'm not aware of any in PT. But I don't think we really needed it. This one was so immediate. Sorry to cut you off, Dr. King. You know, I have a concern with the timing of the discharge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could easily be argued, and I'm not saying it happened here, but some would, like a son of a patient, could make the conclusion, the only reason this patient was discharged at this time was so, you know, you could present, well, he's not a patient anymore, and I'm going to pursue this personal relationship. I just think there's a lot of concerns in this case without necessarily answering your question. Sorry, Dr. King.
In addition to that, I do want to point out that she stated that while she told us that she believes that it was him instigating and trying to keep moving forward on the round dancing, in her interview, it was very clear. I mean, her whole face changed when she talked about how excited she was about learning this round dancing. And she even told us that because of what she's learned from him and with him, it's benefited her as a therapist, and she's actually now using it in her own care. So it could be viewed as though she used him to learn this all about round dancing so that she can then use it in her therapy session. I hear what Mindy's saying. I'm comfortable with offering a consent agreement with disciplinary a disciplinary consent agreement, and if not signed, then we move to an informal hearing.
Is that a motion?
It could be. Is there any other discussion? Though I don't want to preclude anyone from sharing their thoughts, concerns, or maybe a different perspective that I'm missing.
And Dr. King, members of the board, if this is going to become a motion, if I could ask you to cite specifically, you know, the violations. I know we talked about a couple of provisions, and maybe both, maybe one, and then adopting the facts that support that violation before discussing what to put in the consent agreement as far as an order goes.
Thank you.
Before we do that, would it be possible to go into executive session for legal advice? I make a motion.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
The meeting will stop recording at 11:37. The board will review their legal options in executive session and return to this meeting. So if all other participants, please stay on the line.